Praise the Lord. The Lord is good. If you believe that, say amen, please.
Amen.
All right, can we just bow down our heads? I'd like to say a word of prayer as I start my short exhortation for this evening. Father, we thank you. You've brought us here with the power of your Spirit. Thank you for drawing us close to you. Thank you for life. Thank you for health. Thank you for the fact that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Thank you because the Holy Spirit is present here. Thank you because our Holy Spirit is enlightening the hearts of everyone listening this evening. Thank you because our Holy Spirit has gripped my tongue and is bringing forth only the Word of God. Thank you, Lord, because our Holy Spirit is returning all the glory on our behalf to you alone. In the name of this mighty Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, the Lord is good. Good evening, sirs. Good evening, Maz. I want to just share something with us briefly again about this wonderful name of Jesus Christ. One of the most difficult questions for a Christian to answer these days, of course, on the earth, actually, not only these days, from time, especially in a public place where you are not dealing with Christians alone. One of the most difficult questions to answer is a question that I think was either Larry King or Piers Morgan once he asked Joel Osteen. This is on CNN International. The whole world is watching. And they asked a question like this: are you saying that Jesus is the only way? Now you are saying this, and you will have, for that evening, at least a few scores of millions of Muslims watching. If Indians are watching, they are mostly Hindus. They believe, in fact, India is called the land of a million gods. You go to China, most people there don't believe, they are their own religion. A lot of them have a background of Hinduism and Buddhism. You go all over the world. Different, of course, come down to Africa. There was the man who's in charge of Nigerian Human Rights Organization, he spoke a few weeks ago, I think October 1st, thereabouts. There's a pastor in Lagos, Pastor Pojo Imadi, pastor of Covenant Christian Center. He does this program called The Platform. Platform is not really a religious program, though it's on the church platform. People come and speak on national issues. Different people come. Attorney General of Lagos State will come and speak. People come from Abuja. This man is the head of the Human Rights Organization in Nigeria, and he said he was surprised he was invited to speak in the church because he said he's a traditional worshiper. He's a Nigerian. I think he's from the East here. I don't know which particular state here. And he's a young man. I was surprised that a young person would say that openly in the year 2014. But you see, people like him exist. So people like that are watching all over the world. You know, ask somebody like Joel Osteen. I didn't watch that program myself. But just to bring out the issue that it's one of the most difficult questions for Christians to answer in the open. You are going to say that the almost maybe over 1 billion Muslims are wrong. You are going to say that the majority of Indians are wrong when you say Jesus is the only way. A friend of mine is a pastor in this town. He brought it up to me the other day. We were talking about it. And somebody was angry with the way Joel Osteen answered. He felt Joel Osteen was not forceful enough. That the man should have just gone there and declared simply, yes, that is the truth. I agree with the man that Joel Osteen should have been more... Well, I didn't watch it, so I don't know how forceful Joel Osteen was. I didn't know, so I don't think I should agree with the man. I didn't see the other side of the story. But I just agree that, indeed, we can speak persuasively concerning the truth, especially if we fully understand it. A lot of Christians don't understand it. It's going to be very difficult. Yeah, because sometimes we look at it and say, sincerely, some people are wrong. That if a man is seeking, worshipping God sincerely, the word is sincerely, with sincerity, and it turns out to be a Muslim, are you saying he's going to go to hell? If the fellow is sincere, what about those days when the missionaries had not yet come to Africa? What are you saying? Are you saying that everybody that lived that time, they are condemned? Now, let's be honest, those questions can be very difficult to answer. I told my friend, which I'm sharing to us briefly again today, is that you will notice, and I want to answer the question, talking about Jesus. Now, it's quite an interesting claim for Jesus to have made. Now, he also made this, it's interesting, but let's not forget it. to Jews who did not believe in him, who were following Moses. They were following God according to the laws of Moses. Yet he made that claim. It's a simple thing. Either it is true or it is not true. Let me quickly say this. There is no half believing it. There is no half believing it. You have a choice. It's free. I mean, it's a free country. Thank God we live in Nigeria. It's essentially a free country. And most of parts of the world, your heart is actually free. Outside, they can force you to do one thing. But inside your heart, what you want to believe, you believe. So you can refuse to believe it. Or you can accept it. But this is the interesting part. There is no halfway. If you believe it, you have to believe it totally. You will have to accept that anybody who is not following that pathway is not on the right way. Because if you don't accept that, you have doubted the Lord Jesus Christ, and therefore you can't say you are following him. Sometimes Christians speak. The other day, Archbishop Desmond Tutu made a statement. I felt very bad when I heard it. I said, well, maybe he was in a bad mood the day he made that statement. Maybe he has a bit of amnesia or something. I don't know. But he said, made a statement. Essentially, what he did, said was that. Actually, I had to Google it up. And I read the direct account of it. And he was trying to speak concerning what they call gay rights. I like to use the proper word, homosexual rights. All right? Gay is an English word which means you are happy. Let's not corrupt that word. All right? I like Derek Prince in that one. Derek Prince says, look, don't take this word away from what we know it to be. And Desmond Tutu made a statement. He said that he doesn't want to go to a heaven where homosexuals are not welcome. So I said, I felt like telling him, say, bros, you can go anywhere you like. It's a free country. If you don't want to go to heaven, you go to hell. I mean, it's free. I mean, broad is the way that leads to hellfire. You can go on it if that's what you like. Now, with due respect to the senior brother, the fact is that you either take the word of God or you reject it. And I felt like telling him, say, bros, you have rejected the word. He said, let's not use common sense to do this thing. We have a guide. You can't use common sense to decide how you are going to use this projector. You can't. You are going to take the instruction manual and read it. Every other way is wrong. You can't say, Dell, how can you say only 240 volts is correct? What if I put 1,000 volts? Hey, plug it now. It's your money. After a while, it blows up. And that's how life is. I want to just emphasize that. So there is no halfway about this thing. Either we accept it or we don't. If we accept it, we have to accept it totally. That's one point I want to make. But the thing about it is that it's actually true. And now, because I don't have all the time to explain that it's really true, but at least we can look at the claims. Let us assume every religion is correct in the claims they make. Let us assume for a moment, just for the purpose of argument. For a moment, let's assume that every religion is correct. You will notice something. None, not one single one, ever made the claim that Jesus made. Islam will make their claim like this. God doesn't have a son. You can never be a child of God. So fine, stick with that. Hindus believe that you die today, you come back tomorrow as a mosquito. No problem. Come back and transmit malaria. It's your problem. Buddhists believe that you are part of a major consciousness and a universal consciousness. Fine. Dissolve into, you know, obscurity. That's the way you like it. But Jesus made a statement that none of them bothered to even try to contradict. He said, I have come out of the Father. And I am the only one that can take you to the Father. No other religion uses the word Father to describe a personal God. None. So if we assume everybody is right, you find out that Jesus is still right without even saying they are wrong. Because they are not claiming to come to the Father. So when somebody says, is Jesus the only way to the Father? Well, the question is that, show me any other person that's claiming to be the only to another way. There is none. The Buddhists don't claim it. The Hindus don't claim it. The Muslims don't claim it. Each one is every time trying to do something to please somebody. Jesus never tried that. He just said simply, I am the way to the Father. Anyone who believes in me will come to the Father. I told a story last time that we were here, the last fellowship, and I was speaking. That a man wanted to get, the man died and he got to the gates of heaven. Maybe it didn't happen like that, but beautiful story on, to illustrate what grace is about. And the man got to the gates of heaven and he said, let me put new words now. I have meditated all my life. Assume he was a Hindu or a Buddhist. I've seen, now if you see what Hindus do to try to please, I don't even know what they try to, okay, they say they want to try and achieve, is it Nirvana? Yes, you know, you want to leap to another consciousness. If you see what Hindus do, you will thank God. I watched a Hindu festival on TV some time ago, and there was a Hindu man, his own way was to stand for 12 years. Now, you wonder, what are you talking about? Yes, the way was to keep standing for 12 years. He said, won't he sleep? Yes, he used to sleep standing. And how did he used to do it? He had a small pillow on a hard platform suspended from the ceiling. So when he wants to sleep, he leans on it. And by the time I saw it, he had done it successfully for 10 and a half years thereabout. He had about a year and a half to go. Let's not forget, he doesn't wear clothes. He's almost stark naked. The other one, going the same pathway, was to lift his hand straight for 12 years. The one that was standing, after the first few months, of course, you don't understand, his feet became severely swollen, the blisters ruptured, and they never healed. They can't heal. The other one, by the time I saw him, the hand was literally withered because he had kept it, you know, stuck like that in the sky for over 9 years also. These are things that people do to try and reach something, but even then, they don't even claim that it's a way to the Father. They don't even claim it. There's a man, Paul Jinodu. Jinodu is a man from Ibadan. I think he's currently he resides in the UK. He's a pastor. I read his story when I was a student, University of Benin, many years ago. He was in a Muslim home, polygamous family in Ibadan. And because of rivalry within the family, his mother was afraid for his life, so she exported him to the UK many, many years ago. Many years ago. I mean, the man will probably be about 70 years of age now, so this was when he was a child. He said, but because he moved to the UK, he wasn't praying. He was not doing his ablutions, all those things. And that the law in Islam, now he described the story of how he became a Christian. You're supposed to pray as a true Muslim 5 times a day. And if you miss 5 times yesterday, you have to pray 10 times today. If you miss 10 times today, you are owing 15 times. That is, next day you should do 15. And if you miss 5 times for 365 days, the following 365 days, you have to do 10 times every day to make up. And he had been in UK for some years, and he had not been praying. So one day somebody invited him to a crusade where one preacher was preaching. And he got there, he didn't know what they were doing, except that when he got there, there was somebody beside him who was crippled and was in a wheelchair or something. And then the person was right beside him. He didn't think anything of it until the preacher began to pray. And to his amazement, he literally saw crippled legs straighten, and the person began to walk, and the person got well. And he was shocked, like, these people are really serious about this. And therefore, there also must be a correct way to God. His Islam, as far as concerned, was good and okay. But look, will you be a Muslim or you be a Christian? The preacher now said to him that God forgives sins. So he calculated 5 years in England without praying times five. By 365 times five times five, the man looked at it. So this amount of prayer is owing. So he got information correct that they said Jesus will forgive all of that. They said, well, I think this Jesus must be an easier way. He became a Christian because of the forgiveness of not having prayed. He said if he continued to be a Muslim, he would have to pray these prayers. But they said, and because the sign was there right beside him, that Jesus indeed, all right, is alive. So the messenger of this Jesus now said to him, well, Jesus forgives, and you haven't prayed for five. That was no interpretation. That was how he became Christian. And of course, later on he learned the deeper truths of God and understood that indeed Jesus is the only way. No, only way to whom? We are saying now, the Hindu is trying to reach a state of consciousness that's beyond this realm. No, Jesus said that's not what you need. When you reach it, what do you attain? Once they said Buddha, the man who the whole world calls Buddha, and I've forgotten his full name, was a Hindu also. And then he started Buddhism after he attained consciousness. He said one day he was walking on by the water side, and he met a man who was practicing one of those things they call austerity. That's what they call it in their Eastern religions there. And the man told Buddha that, look, I have practiced this austerity for 20 years, and now I can walk across water. So Buddha looked at him and said, 20 years to walk across water. Why didn't you pay the ferry 1 shilling? That if you had given the ferryman 1 shilling, he would have carried you across water. 20 years? This was Buddha speaking. That is, so all these people are trying to attain, what is it? Eternal consciousness to attain what? You don't even reach to the Father, no matter the kind of consciousness that you experience. So Jesus said, you don't need that. What have come is not a way to attain a consciousness. It's not a way to even overcome your troubles. It is a way to the Father. And I'm saying to us again today, nobody else ever made that claim. So even if we believe everybody, Jesus made a claim that they are not even arguing, that I am the way to the Father. And I'm saying to us again today, indeed, he is the way to the Father. He is the one that came to bring us and said, I will make you children of God. That I would create something inside you so you will become a reflection of your Father in heaven while you are on the earth. That's what Jesus is. That is why I say bold. In fact, I wrote an article about it many years ago, maybe about 15 years ago. I titled it The Supremacy of Christ. And when Jesus made that claim, he wasn't being superfluous. Or let me use a Nigerian English that we used when we were in school. He wasn't being braggadocious. He was just stating a statement of fact. That what I'm going to do to you, Moses couldn't do it for anybody. And let me tell you this story so as to emphasize that it's actually the article, what I call Spirit of Christ, I said there are many ways to attain spirituality. You can use Buddhism for it. You can use Hinduism for it. You can use Taoism for it. There are different ways. You can use Islam for it. You can even not do anyone, just sit down and begin to meditate. Because spiritual realm is real. It's very real. It's not even, the other day I was thinking about it. I preached that spiritual realm is real, that one day scientists will even discover that. I now found out that they discovered it long ago. That the days of Albert Einstein, scientists were beginning to discover things that showed that spiritual realm was real. Because in the law, if you know about quantum mechanics, they found, in fact, Albert Einstein called what they call, pardon my big English, what they call quantum linkage. Albert Einstein called it spooky action from a distance. They found out that molecules affect themselves faster than the speed of light. Till now, no explanation. That this spiritual realm is real. It's not something that we just church people that know about it. That if you settle down, you can actually learn the laws of spiritual realm. You can. These are different ways people use to attain spirituality. However, none of these takes you to the realm of God the Father. None. Even Moses, Abraham and co, they had to hope in the coming of Jesus. They had to. When Jesus came and died for sins, he died for the sins of Abraham. Without it, Abraham could not go to the presence of the Father. Every sacrifice they made in the Old Testament, every animal they slaughtered, it was a token of their faith in the coming of Jesus. Jesus was the real sacrifice that wiped away the sins of mankind and reconciled man back to the Father. If you have ever wondered why Southern Kaduna is Christian, let me tell you the story. Then I conclude my message. I heard this story from the mouth of the former vice chancellor of Ahmadu Bello University, by name Professor Ishaya Audu, pediatrician. Once I was watching him on TV, he was a Christian, and they asked him how did he become a Christian and all of that, and he told the story that his grandfather was an Islamic cleric, and he used to do a lot of meditation, a lot of praying. Why I'm telling this story is to let you know that anybody can attain spirituality different ways. But if you are really seeking sincerely, if you are really seeking sincerely, after Jesus came to this earth, God will have directed you to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Cornelius was seeking sincerely to the ways of the Jews. An angel came to him and said, there is a way you need to hear. And they sent him to Peter. They sent him to tell him to go and ask for Peter. The Ethiopian eunuch was seeking sincerely. God sent Philip to him to teach him about Jesus Christ. Anybody seeking sincerely, I say boldly, I read a story about Buddha, and I may be wrong. Buddha was one, if there was no Christianity, I think I would have been a Buddhist after reading about a Buddha. Because I saw a man in the stories I read who actually was seeking sincerely. He was from they have a caste system among the Hindus, 5 castes. He was from the second level. He was a privileged young man, a prince in the society. But he saw suffering and said, this is not right. He saw pain. He said, this is not right. He saw all kinds of things. That young man said, this is not right. He said, that's how the gods made it. And he said, no, the gods are not doing these things right. That's why he left Hinduism and founded what we now call Buddhism. He didn't create it as Buddhism. It was just a way to escape the problems of this world. And the day he died, I said, this man had some spirituality in him. He knew he was going to die, and he took a journey. People escorted him to a particular point. It was just the way Elijah left. Except that this was hundreds of years before Jesus came. So I said to myself after reading his story, if that man had come hundreds of years later, an angel would have come to him and said, you really want the truth? Let me send you to where you will find it. Because this grandfather of Ishaya Odu was like that. He was a man who was meditating, who was praying the Islamic way. Then one day while praying, suddenly had a vision. An angel appeared to him and said to him that, you are seeking to know the truth. And God said, I should tell you something. Take 2 days' journey down towards the south. You will see people coming up towards the north. They have a message from God for you. And this man began to walk down. After 2 days, he saw missionaries finding their ways up to the north. And he stopped them. They talked and said, okay, I was told to meet you. You will tell me how to find God. And they sat down there for some time and they taught him Christianity. Then he returned back to what is now Southern Kaduna. And all his followers turned to Christ. Till today, over 100 years later, Southern Kaduna is predominantly Christian. That thing really happened. There is nobody who is seeking after truth that God will not send you to Jesus Christ. It's not possible. Because that was the way he sent to solve all the problems. That is a matter of fact. There is a book I have titled Dreams and Visions. How God is talking to Muslims even till today. Anyone who wants to remain a Muslim, say that's how I was born. You are not looking for truth. Because in the depths of Saudi Arabia, God still sends angels to people. I have the book. This book is a compilation of well-researched testimonies. A man was going in the market in Egypt. Egypt is said to be the intellectual capital of Islam. And a woman turned to him and said, you, stop. And because of the society, he looked at it. I can't talk to a strange woman. He said, I'm moving. The woman was following him in the marketplace. Finally, he had to stop. He said, you look like the man I saw in my dream. So after a while, the man paused and said, what is it? For this, let me summarize. I don't have a time. Jesus had been appearing to this woman in a dream. Finally, now said, when she finally listened to him, he said, okay, I will send you one of my friends. He will talk to you. And he left. And then she saw the man that is a friend of Jesus in her dream. So one day she was going in the market and suddenly she saw the man. I said, hey, you are the friend of Jesus. So I was pursuing him. He ran. The woman caught up with him. Say, Jesus said, I should talk to you. So they looked for an open space. An open space there, sat down. And for at least 2 hours, this man taught this woman about Jesus. And then warned her that, you know, it's going to be a rough road. The woman says she understands and she's ready for it. Another man in the same Egypt, a pastor, one day was in his house. He heard a gun cock beside his head. He woke up. The man told him, get up and follow me. So he said, well, finally it has happened. Persecution of Christians, they're about to kill him. So that man kidnapped him. Let me make a long story short. They would jump a wall, go around here. The man was blindfolded. You know, the man had a mask over. him. Finally, he got to a place, blindfolded the other man. Follow me. So he took the man through different places. Finally, he got to a particular warehouse. He opened the door, closed the door, locked it, made sure everything was okay. Then they removed his blindfold. To his amazement, he was in the center of Islamic clerics. And they said to him, "We are sorry about the kidnap. It's the only way we can make this thing secret. Somebody has appeared to each one of us in our dreams." And they said, "We have to hear the message you have for us." These stories happened over the last few years. Nobody should tell me that there are many ways to the Father. No, the Father is not stupid. If he sees a sincere heart, he will direct it to the Lord Jesus Christ. If Buddha wakes up today, in fact, if I get to heaven, they say, "That's a man Buddha," I won't be surprised. Because one thing is sure. In fact, you notice something about Nigeria. This really happened in Nigeria. I heard this story from Tunde Bakare's mouth. And it's instructive. I'm from the West. All the national rulers, that is, the presidents Nigeria have produced from the West, they are from the same local area. Even MK Abiola came from there, who came very close to the throne. Obasanjo and Eshonekan. Even MK Abiola came from that area. What happened? I'll tell you the story. If you ever hear the name, Fashola. I mean, all of us know Fashola. Yes, good name to use to illustrate it. Fashola is short for Ifa Shola. Ifa is the group, is like the Levites in Yoruba, this thing, traditional religion. They are diviners. If you look at it really, they actually didn't worship any particular god per se. Ifa himself, that's Orumila, they call him Baba Ifa, that's the head of the Ifa priests. He was like the Levi there. Everybody following him now is one of the followers of Orumila. He was the chief priest. They were diviners. They knew how to enter into the realm of the spirit. I mean, if you see their worship, there's no god there. They just use pellets. They have a book. In fact, they studied, if you go to the University of Ife, those who study Yoruba language, they don't study the language. They study the traditional religion. There's what they call Oduifa. Oduifa is the book of Psalms. When you hear them speak, it's as if you are reading the Psalms in the scriptures. There is a way it rhymes. With it, they do things. So they had their school also. So one day, they suddenly, after doing their divination, it was like looking to the stars. Then they had the revelation that the gods would be sending them a messenger. And that they have an instruction to receive these messengers. So they went to the traditional ruler, the Oba of the place, and said, "This is what the gods are planning to do." A few days later, missionaries arrived. That's how come the first church built in Nigeria there was built in their place. The missionaries had no problems. They didn't have to fight anybody. They arrived in Egba land, and many years later, when Western Nigeria would produce rulers, two of them came from there. There's a spiritual reason. These men were worshipping. Then one day God said, "It's time to know the true God." I have a book titled The Spirits of Mindoro. It's somewhere in China or somewhere that the people were oppressed by all kinds of evil spirits. But somebody told them hundreds of years ago that one day prophets will come that will bring a message from the Almighty God. Many centuries later, missionaries arrived in the jungles to, surprisingly to them, a people already prepared to hear the gospel. Nobody should tell me that Jesus is not the only way. If you really want to know the way, you will find out that he's the only way. If Buddha wakes up today, he will serve Jesus Christ. So somebody asked me openly, "Are you saying Jesus is the only way?" I will say, "Only way to what? To spirituality? No. You can go different ways. But when you enter that place, you will find out that if you are going to the Father, there is only one way. And his name is Jesus Christ." Let us worship in our prayers right now. Let us bow our heads and begin to worship this Jesus. Jesus made that claim. He wasn't joking. He wasn't bragging. Just say to him, "Jesus, you are the way, and I walk in this way." Let's tell him, "Thank you." That's what God wants, acknowledgement. Just say, "Thank you. You are the one that has introduced me to the Father." Let's just thank him. Let's commit our lives once again to him. Say, "Jesus, this life is for the Father. Take it. Use it. Manifest your glory in this life. This is my life. In the name of Jesus Christ." Our Father, we thank you because of the beauty of your word and the beauty of the name Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.